If you have your Bibles, find Genesis 39. Genesis 39. Do you guys know how to respond if I say to you, Dominus vobiscum? Does anybody here know what you're supposed to say next? Dominus vobiscum. Hachu. No, you're supposed to say et cum spiritu tuo. You didn't know that? You didn't? Why did you know Latin, Will? I'll tell you why you likely don't know it, because we're not part of the Roman Catholic Church. We're not Lutheran. We're not Anglican. But for centuries, many church services have started out with Dominus Vobiscum, and the church would say back, et cum spiritu tuo. The rest of that is, if you haven't figured it out, it's like saying, the Lord be with you, and then the people would respond to the leader, and with your spirit as well, right? You might not have it in Latin, but if I say to you now, the Lord be with you. All right, okay, Clay did the really modern one, also with you as well. A lot of churches would do it in English and say, and with your spirit too, or as well. Let's try it again. The Lord be with you. I think sometimes we might say that, or we might pray that for somebody, Lord, just be with them. And we may miss how monumental of a greeting that is, or how monumental of a prayer that is. I think tonight, if you've ever prayed, I don't know what to say except Lord be with them, you may become convinced in a fresh way that that might be the best thing you could pray. We're going to look at a story of Joseph, part of Joseph's story, and definitely, as Casey has indicated, the Lord was with him, and that is powerful. I bet you somebody in here knows the other side of this Bible verse. If the Lord be for you, who shall be against you, right? So that's the preposition for. If the Lord's on your side, right? If the Lord is for you, who can be against you? If the Lord is with you, you're already very blessed. Amen? Genesis chapter 39, beginning at verse number 1. Another one of these great Genesis stories. Now, Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight, that is the Lord's sight, Potiphar's sight. Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he had made him overseer in the house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in house and field. So he left all he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, Hubba Bubba. said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in his house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And as he spoke to Joseph day after day, as she spoke to him, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, see, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. Then she laid up his garment by until his master came home, and she told him the same story, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house. And as soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, this is the way your servant treated me, his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Would you pray with me? Father, we have opened your word, but we know this is a spiritual word. It's not a matter of simple literature. This is something your spirit must give us. So we ask you to feed us, to feed your children tonight from your word, that we may exalt you and glorify you and that we may be encouraged in our walk with you. Build us up that as you send us out, the world will know the Lord is with us too. In Jesus I pray, amen and amen. In some ways, I have a very simple sermon. I'll go ahead and tell you, I have 5 points and it's that middle one that's so troubling. I'll go ahead and tell you that. The first one is very simple. If you did not hear it from the passage, let me tell it to you now. The Lord was with Joseph. Amen? The Lord was with Joseph. And I would say that's the big idea of this whole thing. The Lord was with Joseph. Everything Joseph did, God gave him favor. Everyone God worked with, God shed his favor over onto them. God was with Joseph. God blessed Joseph over and over again. I might say it this simple. When it comes to Genesis 39, it's a picture of the whole life of Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. He prospered him. You might even say, if you go back into Genesis 37, where we started really looking into Joseph's story, and you go all the way to Genesis chapter 50, the Lord was with Joseph. And you saw it in so many evidences. He's purchased in slavery by Potiphar. But God's blessing Joseph so much, Potiphar trusts everything to him. I laughed when I read that. I'll tell you why, because I don't even trust everything I have to myself. It's hard to imagine that sort of deal working out like that, but it's true. And then as he's thrown into jail, you saw what the keeper of the jail did. The keeper of the jail put him in charge of everyone. It's funny. It's funny. You might have never thought about it like this. Joseph was safer keeping watch over prisoners than he was as a free man. There's a word to be said on that later. But isn't that strange? But the point isn't even all those details. The point is pretty simple. The Lord was with Joseph. Praise God. The Lord was with Joseph. He was with Joseph while he was in the pit. He was with Joseph while he was being taken to Egypt. He was with Joseph when he placed him with Potiphar. He was with Joseph in Potiphar's house, and he is with Joseph in prison. He was even with Joseph when Joseph faced, I would say, a very difficult temptation. Amen? Maybe the guys are the only one would say amen here. A very difficult temptation. So can we say it together? Say it with me. The Lord was with Joseph. Great. Y'all can go preach Genesis 39 now. You're ready. Secondly, even though the Lord was with Joseph, we need to see this. The Lord does not excuse Joseph from a very problematic fallen world. Did you guys see that in the passage? The Lord is with Joseph and the world is fallen. Those two things are true at the same time. The Lord was with Joseph and the world is really messed up. I think sometimes we think that for the Lord to be with us, we'll suddenly be excused from all of the mess. We should dispel ourselves of that notion. That's why he told us we're going to be in the world, but what, church? Not of it. See, God has told you his missional plan. His missional plan is to leave his people in the world, right? At Clement Baptist Church this morning, I went and listened to Shannon, and Shannon said, the light of the Lord is being shown through his church, through his people. And so here's Joseph. He's the Lord's with him, but he's in this house. He's in the house of this master. I know you all noticed it. Verse 6 tells us, the second part of verse 6 tells us that he was handsome in form and appearance. I can tell you from personal experience, that causes you all kinds of problems. No amens? Come on, guys. Listen, that wasn't the problem. The problem was that though Joseph was beautiful and godly, right? Though Joseph was a beautiful person and he was a godly man, that did not mean everything was easy for Joseph. We've got to stop thinking that way. I mean, we probably have the prettiest church in Person County. You guys are beautiful. And we have people that really love the Lord, and it's obvious to me that the Lord is with us. Why should we be exempt from problems? It often, encountering darkness becomes our very opportunity to show light. You ever thought about that? You ever thought God might bring you a problem because he wants to put light into the problem, not just own it? Everybody loves own it. Everybody loves to snitch on somebody. You know what I'm saying? Everybody loves to say somebody's doing bad, but have we ever seen the possibility that God wants us to show them good, to show them him? So the Lord does not excuse Joseph from a very problematic world. And in this case, the problem was Potiphar's wife. Anybody ever watch the old sitcom MASH? Anybody watch that? Did anybody remember Major Houlihan's nickname? Anybody? Hot Lips Houlihan. We got, I don't know what her name was, you know, Potiphar's wife. We got Hot Lips Potiphar's wife. And she says, this is a good-looking man here. You know, we often think only men behave this way. It proves you've never hung out with a group of women in your life. Dale says they just hide it better. Dale, I'm going to openly disagree with you. I hear them not hide it all the time. I work with young people who have no desire to hold in what they're thinking on a very regular basis. And they will say things about boys that will make my ears turn hot and red in embarrassment. This woman, I don't think all women are like this. I don't think all men are dogs, but certainly some are. Amen? It's just true. And I don't know how Joseph handled the pressure. I can tell you this much, if you want to put that into very modern day terms, there's been many a godly man who recognized a situation like this and had to leave a good job so he could have a good life. And there's been many a godly women for the same reasons, to tell the truth. One more quick word, just for the interest of humanity. This must have been a really good-looking family. Do y'all remember his mom and his grandma was old and pretty? Now, this joker, they said he got a nice bod and a nice face. I know from whence I am descended. Amen. Thirdly, the Lord does not exclude Joseph from the possibility of temptation. Don't forget the overall framing of this. What's the big point of this whole chapter? What is it, y'all? The Lord is with Joseph, okay? Don't forget that as we look at these. He does not excuse him from a problematic world. He does not exclude him from the possibility of temptation. Because that's the focus of this passage, I want to spend a couple of extra minutes on this. This is a wild story. All of us would have thought it more typical that some guy was chasing some girl, right? We've already seen the story of Dinah. That was terrible. And we all are very familiar with the story of David and Bathsheba. And we all know the world we live in. It seems far more typical. It seems far more typical that some guy will be inappropriately chasing some girl. Side note, young ladies, there is an appropriate way to chase a young lady. Young ladies, there is an appropriate way to be interested in a young man, and there's certainly an inappropriate way. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the apostles were acting so strange that people said, I think they're drunk. Y'all remember this story in the Bible? And they don't even take the time to say, nah, man, we holy, we don't get drunk. They just say, we ain't drunk, it's only 9 o'clock. Right? In other words, the excuse isn't that drinking and being drunk is a problem. The thing was, it's too early in the day for that. Come on, guys, this is something else. I need us to see that what prevents Joseph from falling for the temptation is twofold. One, he says, you're somebody else's wife. It ain't right. Then he says, and I don't want to sin against God. Who gave him the objective for that sin? It was God. And he says, listen, this would be a violation. This would break God's heart. This would go against holiness. This would be the loss of a trust. Everything in my master's house has been given to me to care for. I'm to care for his wife, but I'm not to care for his wife. Grown-ups, are you tracking? And he says the outward violation would be inappropriate with the wife, but the eternal violation would be that it's against God. We have Lord's Supper tonight. I want to get to that. I don't want to belabor this too long. Brothers and sisters, usually what stops the average person from sinning is not the hatred of the darkness, it's the fear they'll be brought into the light. What enables this man to resist temptation is he was more concerned about God than he was even his master. He was concerned about his master, amen? He was concerned about that. But he was more concerned about God. If you've ever read the Proverbs, and I love reading the Proverbs, there's this chapter, Proverbs 7, and there's this chapter 6 where this dad is kind of saying, hey, son, listen to me. I'm going to tell you about some of the pitfalls in the world. And then he talks about this forbidden woman in chapter 7, and it basically says she's like a lady who stands out in the street, and every time you come by, you know, she speaks to you, and it even sort of indicates, like, you might put up an objection, like, hey, you don't want to have this illicit affair. That would disappoint God. She says, look, I go to church. The way it says in the Proverbs, I paid my vows. I've done my offering. Do you know this is the battle cry of sin in the church? Hey, I love God. I'm religious. I'm just trying to take care of number one. I'm just trying to have a little fun. I love God. It's okay. See, here's the thing. We're not going to be able to resist temptation if we don't at least begin at the heart of God and agree with the definitions of with God about what sin is. And what you get a picture of here is a woman is trying to break that man down. I was talking with Michaela Long this week, and I was telling her, like, you know, when I was a little kid, something happened to me that was out of my control, and it broke my heart, and it just hurt, you know, and it happened to me from another man, and it was just heartbreaking, right? And I said, here's what I had to face. And for years, I was so mad about that, so hurt about that. And y'all picking up what I'm putting down? I don't really want to describe it, right? I was so mad, so hurt, till God said, Tim, if a woman had put the same heat on you, you would have welcomed it. And that would have also been sinful. And then I began to see, like, what I objected to was being violated. What I didn't object to was possibly mistreating someone else. I didn't object to the possibility of my own pleasure. I objected to someone using me for theirs. Am I getting at anybody's mind here tonight? Is the Holy Spirit getting at anybody? There's a picture here where day by day he's in the house, and And this temptation isn't one time. She's working this man. She's working him. And he has to have God's heart and has to know God's character. And he has to resist over and over and over again and again and again. This was a powerful temptation in a moment, but it was also a continuous temptation over time. There's so much more that could be said about this, but let us see in the minimal that just because God is with you don't mean you won't face things that will tempt you. Fourthly, quickly, the Lord does not exempt Joseph from the probability of persecution. Now, what's the overall theme of this whole chapter? What is it? Come on, preach to me. All right, so the Lord's with him. Like, we would say, how could you let this happen to me? But does the Lord let it happen to him? Answer me, church. The husband, well, you know, she spins a story. The husband comes home. The husband, like, he a better man than me. He used the law. Your boy would have violated my wife. You know, you'd have started hearing me sing country music. You know, you'd start hearing banjos and stuff going off in the background. I'd have been fighting this man. No, he used the law. He adjudicated the situation. We would even say properly. Could we even see that the Lord was so with him that he stayed the hand of an angry husband? This is wild. In other words, how far did the persecution go? The exact level God wanted it to go. It's wild. Face it. In this case, Joseph is an innocent man trying to do the right thing. In this case. Now, there are some that would paint Joseph as perfect. I can't do that. Amen? I can't paint Joseph as perfect. Here's why. Oh, and maybe I should look back into last week before I tell you why. Let me say something about last week. Tamar was more righteous than Judah. Amen? Amen? You know how I know she was more righteous than Judah? Because it's not my opinion. Judah said she is more righteous than I. Right? Did that make Tamar as righteous as God? Okay, more righteous than Judah, right? You want to see an example of this? Would you say Mother Teresa was more righteous than Hitler? Right? But was Mother Teresa more righteous than God? How do I know Joseph is not a perfect guy? I'll tell you why, because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And either the Bible's a liar or Joseph's not perfect, right? All like sheep have gone astray. All are born dead in their trespasses and sin. In this case, Joseph is doing the right thing, and he gets persecuted. Brothers and sisters, I adjure you by all that is holy to always seek to have the heart of God, to know the character of God, to follow the ways of God. And sometimes in his sovereign providence, he will still allow you to get persecuted. What is he doing? He's very likely positioning you to bring light into a dark place or to bring shame upon the darkness. Fifthly and quickly, the Lord was with Joseph when no one else was. Somebody say amen. The Lord was with Joseph when nobody else was. I love this. Those last few verses. He gets put in charge of the prison. That is wild to me. He was in the prison, but verse 21 says, but the Lord was with him. He was with him to the point that he became a trusted man in the prison. And verse 23 says, whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. The Lord was with Joseph when no one else was. Brothers and sisters, this promise Casey had us read in the opening, the Lord Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Behold, I'll always be with you. This is beautiful. Sometimes in a human realm, you will feel all alone. But if you have Jesus, you're never alone. Sometimes you'll have to make a stand and nobody else is standing with you except the Lord. Just like Paul said about the Lord when he was in prison. The Lord stood with me. Everybody else left me. Even in my ministry, I've had something happen to me where no one was a friend to me. And I was left standing all alone. I mean, utterly and completely. It changed my life for 2 or 3 years. Also, it became some of the sweetest times of the Lord ever. Well, guess what, church? I've got some news for you. You ready? You ain't Joseph. Okay? You might guess why I say that. Not to bring you down. It's not your mission to save Egypt. Hallelujah. I'd like to go see the pyramids. Thank God I don't have to be the maintenance man for them. Right? If you start trying to think you're Joseph, you might think your life is going to be just as much on the world stage, and your life doesn't have meaning if you don't do something like save multiple people groups. Because we'll see in this story, like, all kinds of people come to Joseph before this is said and done. Your life doesn't have to be on the stage as big as Joseph's to matter as much as Joseph's. So let me give you some quick words of application. You ready? In Christ Jesus, the Lord is with you. Amen? I want to turn to Romans 8. I'm not. Don't worry. But I want to turn to Romans 8 and give us that logic that never gets tired of being logical. If God has given us his son, what will he hold back from us? It says, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Our own flesh will fail us. Sometimes even our minds will leave us. But in Christ Jesus, if you're a child of God, the Lord is with you. Second point of application, you ain't Joseph. Amen. Just remember that. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't Joseph. Okay? Though you are in Christ Jesus, God does not excuse you from a problematic fallen world. Amen? It would be funny if all y'all leave here and you go to Golden Grill and Torero's and Arby's and all La Casina and all the cool places you're going, and you just started going, the Lord is with you. Ha! The Lord is with me. Free roast beef, right? Or that everybody's going to be nice to you because you were reminded tonight that the Lord is with you. You know, if you go through the drive-thru and you get upset over a $6 Happy Meal and you just had to yell in the window, the Lord's with me. You better be nice to me. Okay. Everybody hold your finger up. You ready? Hold your finger up. Play along. Okay. You know what you call that right there? You know what you call that? That's a grip. Now get a grip. The Lord's with you. That don't mean you're going to get away from this world. Get a grip. Don't mean He could be using you to shine some light in dark places. Have you ever thought about that? Thirdly, quickly, though you are in Christ Jesus, the Lord does not exclude you from the possibility of temptation. Somebody say amen. There's all kinds of temptations. It's probably going to surprise you what I'm getting ready to tell you, but I struggle with my weight. I know it's hard to tell. But sometimes the Proverbs 7 woman is a Proverbs 7 cheeseburger. You know, it's just a bad diet and a failure to take care of myself and all the excuses in the world not to do it. Sometimes it's a comfort purchase. Sometimes it's trying to find an excuse to get out of something. You know, temptations aren't always crack cocaine and prostitutes. Temptation isn't embezzlement, and it isn't always showing up like cheating on your spouse. Sometimes it's a very small thing, because ultimately the enemy doesn't care what gets you off of trusting the Lord as long as you're not trusting the Lord. I don't care what it is. Next, and quickly, though you are in Christ Jesus, the Lord does not exempt you from the probability of persecution. But I want to say a word here. I want to give a quick word. If we're going to get into trouble for something, get in trouble for the right thing. Amen? Every one of these I can say a lot about. I think I'm doing good. You guys can pat me on the back later. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 says something critical. 18 and following. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. Paul's right there. Here's the thing, right? In Joseph's case, Joseph, be subject to Potiphar. He was, right? But ultimately, he was able to be subject to what became an unjust employer because he was subject to an ultimately just God. This is a thing we miss out on a lot, right? Servants, be subject to your masters. But who's the master of your masters? What we're usually wrestling in is whether we're subject to God. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. But this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. Doesn't that sound like Joseph's story? Verse 20, for what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. Brothers and sisters, you might get in trouble for doing the right thing. That's what you want to get in trouble for. Like imagine, you want to imagine something. I don't know if you'll agree with me, but I could see this scenario. Let's imagine that I went to the convention of all the Planned Parenthood people. And I stood up and I said, I think abortion is an egregious sin before a holy God. In that setting, how do you think people would respond to me? Right? It would be vitriolic to say the least. I guarantee you, right? But would I be wrong? The funny thing about the truth is it doesn't need a gang for it to be true. The truth stands alone joyfully. Sometimes the saints of God do the right thing and it costs them. Lastly, through Jesus Christ, the Lord is with you even if no one else is. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Now go back to what I said at the beginning. Sometimes you don't know what to pray for people and you almost feel like you didn't say enough. When you might say, man, I pray the Lord is with them. That's no bigger prayer. Sometimes the Lord is with you and he prospers your business. Sometimes the Lord is with you and he simply upholds your heart or your mind. Sometimes the Lord is with you and gives you the endurance to care for a loved one in sickness. When we see so many others, right, not being able to do that. There's so many ways the Lord is with us. Can you imagine any better way for the Lord to be with us than on Judgment Day? When we stand up, I don't know that it's going to happen like this. Just let me paint a picture. Stand before God. Why should I let you into my heaven? Any sensible person has no reason. They have no reason of their own merit, right? Oh, I went to church. I was a nice person. I tried to do good. I was a preacher. All of those are wrong answers. Because if we're not as righteous as God, we're not righteous enough to get in on our merit. And who is as righteous as God? No one. But the Lord is with his children. And when our name is called, and when we step up, it is the Lord Jesus that gets seen because we are in him. The Lord is with you even when no one else is. And on Judgment Day, no one would stand with you. No one could stand with you except Jesus Christ. So if you've already got him, you got the treasure of eternity. So maybe we could close. I don't know if y'all got the Latin down pat, but maybe you got the English down pat. The Lord be with you. Now y'all say it to me. Y'all say the first part to me. And to your spirit as well. We should pray to God that the Lord would be with this local church and the families and the households and to each man and each woman, each precious little boy and each precious little girl. Because whatever way he wants to prosper us is for our good, it's for his glory, and it's for us to take light into the darkness. You might wind up sold into slavery. pray the Lord will be with you. You may wind up falsely accused. I pray the Lord will be with you. You may find yourself under blistering temptation. I pray the Lord will be with you. You may find yourself all alone. I pray the Lord will be with you. Do you know him today? The Bible says, it's pretty plain. Jesus himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. We're told of Brother Abraham that he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Do we believe God that Jesus is that way? Do we believe? The Bible says if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Amen? Then you could say confidently, the Lord is with me. So I say prayerfully. I say hopefully. I say joyfully, East Rock Community Church. The Lord be with you. Let's pray. Father, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you give us life and you call us unto yourself. You make your spirit to be in us. You cover us in the blood of your Son. You hide us in the glorified body of your Son. God, you are with your church. Tonight, Father, remind us of that. Even as we take the elements, remind us that even this is meant to remind us that the Lord is with us. And may that knowing give us humble courage, where we're humble before people, but bold in righteousness and truth. Thank you, Lord, for being with East Rock Community Church. In Christ I pray, amen and amen.